Today is the festival of the transfiguration, a day about transfiguration, which is not a word that we use in everyday English. It means change the shape of. It means metamorphosis. It means transformation, which is a word we use not only in everyday English, it's also one of my favorite sermon words. I don't know if you've noticed that. It doesn't maybe stand out as much as my use of the phrase, this is the good news. But whenever I'm talking about repenting or repentance, which is a word that literally means realizing you're wrong and choosing to go a different way, whenever I'm talking about repenting or repentance, I often use this favorite word of mine, transformation. So maybe we should call this day in the church year the festival of transformation. Of course, that's not going to happen. The church won't change the word because of what I think. But for the purposes of this sermon, I think we should look at this day with a whole tangle of words. Transfiguration, metamorphosis, transformation, all of which means this is a day about turning points. In the story, Jesus is at a turning point. And the church year is at a turning point. And we disciples, people at St. John's, people of the whole church, people of faith in God, people of the United States, people of the world, we, humanity, we in the biggest, broadest sense you can imagine are at a turning point. Because the world is in the midst of perhaps the biggest convergence of dramatic, even cataclysmic forces in decades, if not ever. As late stage capitalism has dramatically shifted from a force which creates a middle class to a force that is shrinking the middle class, both in the U.S. and worldwide. And as climate change has joined economic factors as an accelerating global driver for the displacement of human populations, for human migration, as political unrest and upheaval and division influenced heavily by the same system disabling economic and climate and migration crises is sweeping the globe, as militarism, tension between nations, conflict zones expand globally, we, in the biggest, broadest sense you can imagine, we, humanity, we are at a turning point. Now, theologically, this is not unique. We, individually and collectively, are always at a turning point. But I know that many of us feel it more deeply and more anxiously in this moment of time than we have before. Pastors and many others are saying that anxiety, fear, concern, worry, a sense of being overwhelmed by the upheaval in the world is higher than ever. And I believe that today's story, today's focus, a day of transfiguration, transformation, a turning point for Jesus, has something to say for us. But what I want to say that I think Luke's story tells us is not found just in those few verses that we just read. I think it's found in the bigger story, the wider story that Luke tells, so I want to share a few more bits of the story. Do you remember how the story started? Luke told us that Jesus is baptized and hears God's voice. You are my son. You are my beloved. In you I find great joy. Then we heard that Jesus made a bold prophetic claim that he is here to bring about the fulfilling of Scripture, specifically to tear down the mighty, lift up the lowly, reorder the ways of the world, to bring healing and hope and life, the kingdom of God, the reign of God's love to all people together. And then there are stories about Jesus, about his traveling, his work, all throughout the region of Galilee where he was from. Stories about his calling regular lowly people, fishermen, a tax collector, to follow him. Stories about casting out evil. Stories about healing. Stories about Jesus' teaching, about prayer, about sin, about forgiveness, about gratitude. Stories about Jesus' authority, his proclaiming God's good intentions for humanity. There are stories about crowds coming from all around. There are so many stories about people finding faith, trust in Jesus as he heals them, as he changes their lives, as he shares good news. And all of this, in the Gospel of Luke, all of these stories culminate, climax in the biggest miracle which Jesus does, the feeding of 5,000. And then we get to this turning point. In the verses just before today, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do the crowd say I am?" And they say, "John the Baptist, Elijah, an ancient prophet." But Jesus pushes them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter replies, "The Christ sent from God." To which Jesus responds, "The Son of Man," that is the human one, the fully true human whom God sends, "must suffer, must be rejected by rulers and religious leaders, must be killed to rise on the third day." And that brings us to today's story, in which Peter, James, and John witness Jesus talking to two shining figures, in which Jesus himself is flashing with the lightning of God, and they and we hear God's voice, "This is my beloved Son. This is my chosen one. You, disciples, listen to him." And what comes in the rest of the story from this moment forward? Jesus comes down from the mountain and he begins his final journey toward Jerusalem. The human one, God's chosen, doing just what he said, going to Jerusalem to suffer, to be rejected, to die. This moment of transfiguration is a turning point for Jesus, a turning point in his ministry. From proclaiming what he is going to do, from teaching about what he is going to do, from performing signs that point to what he is going to doing it. This is a turning point for Jesus, from proclaiming what he is about to getting on with it, to being about it. And the transfiguration, this transformation of Jesus with this mystical, miraculous infusion with God's glory, his conversation, his consultation with Moses and Elijah, this event sets Jesus on the path to do what he came to do. It's a turning point in his ministry, in his life. It's like Moses and Elijah are giving him the final pep talk, reinforcing him, preparing him for the journey to Jerusalem. That's why we read this story in the church today, the last Sunday after the Epiphany, the Sunday before Lent starts on Wednesday. As a turning point story for Jesus, it's also then liturgically a turning point in the church year as we begin to walk with Jesus toward Jerusalem. Jerusalem. And so it seems if this is a story about Jesus' turning point, in every sense, it has something to say to us when we find ourselves at a turning point. So what does it have to say? Well, you need a few more of the stories. A bit more. As I just said, the last story, the culmination of all that occurs in Galilee that comes leading up to this moment of glory on the mountain is the feeding of the 5,000. Do you remember how that story starts in Luke? It's not the version where a little boy offers his lunch. That's John. It's the version where the disciples tell Jesus, send these people away to get some food. And Jesus says, you feed them. And they say, we cannot. We don't have enough. The last event before the transfiguration for the disciples is a failure. They fail to have trust, to have faith, to believe that they can do miracles, that they can do amazing things, that they can do Jesus' work with him. And do you know what comes just after today's story, the next thing after the transfiguration, as they come down the mountain? What do you think? They fail again. They're unable to heal the son of a man who comes to them begging for help. Now, maybe you thought I was going to say after the turning point, they succeeded. But no, they fail again. And shortly after that, they fail big time. They're found arguing about who's the greatest among them. It's actually a story as Jesus heads toward Jerusalem of one discipleship failure after another. What this story teaches us is that as Jesus passes through this turning point, he is certain, he is focused, his face, his path is set toward Jerusalem to do what he came to do, but it's not so easy for us. It's not so easy when we come to a turning point to actually change or be transformed. It's not so easy to live God's new way, to live into this reign of God. It's not so easy to follow Jesus. Taking up our cross, as Jesus calls it, is difficult. We will fail again and again to be changed. That is the simple fact that has brought the world to where it is today. Because humans continue to turn in towards self, to turn away from one another. So then, where is the good news? Where is the hope? It's right there in this broader story. When the disciples fail to change, to see the truth, to follow Jesus well, again and again and again, what does he do? Does he blast them with the heavenly lightning? No. Does he scream at them and send them away? No. He invites them again and again. And again, follow me. Even after the biggest failure of all, when in Jerusalem, out of fear, they betray, deny, abandon him as he is arrested, tried, sentenced, tortured, killed. Even then, the biggest failure of all, he doesn't give up on them. The resurrection, the Easter gift of new life, proclaims this dramatically. Again and again, without fail, never ending, still today, God and Jesus invites us, follow me. I am with you. Journey with me toward the kingdom, toward God's reign, toward love that overturns hate, hope that casts out fear, joy that brings peace. change that brings salvation. Friends, this is the good news of the Transfiguration. Humans are always at a turning point, standing on the edge of the knife, because we fail again and again at walking the way that God calls us to walk, in the opposite direction of the ways of the world. But God keeps journeying with us through good, through bad, through horrible. God is with us. God is calling us. God will lead us, will sustain us with love. God in Christ will transform us, will save us from ourselves again. That's good news. Amen.